We were talking a little bit offline about some of these grow houses, and they use the term dispensary, meaning retail location.
Well, there's a difference between the grow and the dispensary. The grow is where the product is created, and the dispensary is where the product is sold.
Okay.
And then in the dispensary, you have a medical side and you have a retail side, also known as the recreational.
Okay, so what's the difference? Can I go into both?
No, you have to have a medical card to go into the medical side, but you can go into the recreational side as long as you're over 21.
So why would I, you know, what I heard, and maybe this is just a rumor, that the stuff at the medical side is cheaper.
It is, absolutely.
Okay, it's taxed lower and it's priced lower?
Yes, because it's got a medical purpose. It's only sold to people that have been given a prescription for it and that have been determined by a doctor that they need it for medical reasons.
So I would guess that you would see, particularly as an attorney, some fraud in all that. Hey, I have a backache, I need a medical license, I can't sleep.
There's probably not anything out there that wouldn't qualify you for a card in some people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I remember when the industry was new, seeing signs saying, get your red card, which is the medical card, here for $39. It didn't even require you to have a condition. You just went in and
got the...
You know, you claimed you needed it for medical reasons, and you paid $39.
Yeah, I saw an ad once that a doctor would examine you via Skype.
Yes.
That you could Skype into a physician, and he or she could diagnose you.
Right, and the reason for that is the doctors are still not protected from writing prescriptions for marijuana because it's illegal under federal law.
Okay, so the recreational side, anyone over 21 can go in?
21 and over.
What if you're visiting from out of state? You came here from Alabama.
You can buy it, but you're limited on how much you can buy. I believe it is a quarter ounce a day, and you cannot take it with you across the state line when you leave.
So does this really work? I mean, couldn't a guy from Alabama come to Colorado and go into one shop and buy a quarter ounce and then go to another shop and buy a quarter ounce? And
in theory, they used to be able to do that, but now there are systems in place to prevent that. When they go into a shop and buy a quarter ounce, it's put into a repository of information
okay. That
all the dispensaries, in theory, have access to.
I got it. So beyond this whole fraud side, what's the glaring thing you might see legally at a dispensary that a dispensary owner has to worry about?
Well, the dispensary owner has a lot of worries, starting with their landlord, because the landlords can take advantage of them in many different ways, not just raising the rent, but using portions of the lease that are common in every lease to get them out of the space and take it over themselves.
So raising the rent, doesn't a lease stop that? Can a landlord just say, oh, your rent was a dollar and now it's $50?
Well, in most industries, that's absolutely correct. In this industry, there is such uncertainty about whether or not you can enforce that provision of the lease, because other provisions of the lease make the use illegal. So if you don't write that lease properly, the landlord can come in and raise your rent, and there's nothing you can do about it because the license is tied to the premises.
I'm assuming as an attorney you've actually reviewed some of these leases and told people, hey, wait a second, this is what this really says.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I guess arming yourself with a lawyer as well as a grower is a key thing.
You better have a lawyer or somebody that understands regulations, or you won't be open very long.